we're back, and more importantly, basketball is back. Prep Sports Now. Happy New Year to everyone out there. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. Got ahead of myself there. Kind of a hiatus every year in the high school basketball schedule. Some games, of course, during the holiday break, but many tournaments, some out-of-state competition. Now we get right back into the swing of league play, where we had already started on the sunset the last time we talked to you. Sunrise going to get into it this week. So big stretch coming up in high school basketball. Ray, I know you've been around. You've been to some games. What's stood out in the 3 weeks or so since we last talked?
So a few things that have been noteworthy. One is the best player we're not talking about, maybe Donovan Joyner from Las Vegas High. He's almost scoring 30 points a game. The Wildcats going to battle Canyon Springs there in the Northeast for supremacy. And really excited to see that game. I think a lot of times in the Sunrise, we talk about Coronado and Foothill, and Vegas and Canyon are kind of an afterthought. But with the way Joyner's scoring it, and we know that Las Vegas will be athletic, I think we could throw them into the mix. Two, I went to the unscheduled Gorman-Clark game. Both teams advanced to the finals of the Tarkanian Classic a few days before Christmas, and which was an accomplishment in its own right. Right, there was like three nationally ranked teams there. They each had a battle, and Gorman, not only did they beat Clark, they kind of dominated Clark. Been told by many, including yourself, don't put too much stock into it. Both teams had played six games in 3 days or whatever it was, and their legs were shot, so I'm not putting too much stock into it. But with that said, the Jalen Hill kid for Clark got into some foul trouble, right? And the Trey Woodbury kid, didn't go off right away. The transfer that's going to Gonzaga for Clark, I can't remember his name.
Mason
right
Foster.
No. Who's the kid from Clark that's going to Gonzaga?
I thought it was Mason Foster.
No.
I drafted him in the –
Greg Foster.
Okay.
Who's Mason?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was close.
He didn't play that well against Gorman. I think Gorman, we saw Noah Tate's make everything. Isaiah Cottrell was great on the inside. Jamal Bay's been every bit of good as we thought he would be. And then the last thing is, what about those Bulldogs of Centennial? No Troy Brown. They're in first place in the Northwest.
Yeah, that was a lot to digest. A couple things to say. First of all, I feel like I'm being misquoted. No way did I say don't put stock into it. I mean, they won by 13. It was meaningful. The thing I was saying is don't overreact to it, because we went from both of us saying, okay, Clark's a little bit better this year, they should win. You saw this one game. I asked you for a report, and you were like, Clark has no chance. They're never beating Gorman. Gorman's so much better. I'm saying don't overreact to that. It doesn't swing from one game. A lot can happen in one game, even if both teams are under ideal circumstances. And this one, like you said, they weren't. I think you can even kind of readjust our expectations. Like, I have no problem with what you've seen now makes Gorman the favorite. But I don't think that Clark's – you know, they're still going to play four times total, three more. I still would be stunned if Clark doesn't win at least one of them. And I think you didn't see Clark's best, and you might have seen closer to Gorman's best. So all I was saying is don't overreact to one game, not don't put any stock into it.
Okay, yeah, and I just think the one thing that kind of stands out to me with Clark Gorman, and I know we spent a lot of air talking about this game, which we anticipate could determine the state champion, is that Clark likes to keep its games in the 40s and 50s, right? They remind me a little bit of Jim Harbaugh. Right? Jim Harbaugh's a Michigan coach, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when he was with the 49ers, he'd want to win games. He'd be field position, right? Punt, punt, field goal, defense. Right?
A little bit. I mean, Alex Smith had the breakout under him. The first year, they were scoring a lot more points than people gave him credit. They had one of the best offenses in the league, too.
Okay.
They played slower pace. I mean, probably slower. They weren't running a lot of no huddle or anything, but they scored some points. And Clark probably can too, but they just prefer to maybe play a little bit more deliberately, is what you're saying.
Yeah, now, and, you know, early before we went on the break, Clark beat up on a few teams, right? Sierra Vista, I think, and DO, and they scored in the 80s. But then against Gorman, the game got a little tight, and then they went to the Beach Ball Classic, South Carolina, played some tight close games too. And I think for Clark to beat Gorman, they're going to have to score more. My humble opinion.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, their scores are low, but maybe then the way to beat Gorman is to kind of slow them down more and make them play their pace. Then if you're scoring, you know, cut down the number of possessions. I don't know. I think you could see it both ways. It's going to be an interesting thing to look at. Another thing that you mentioned is Donovan Joyner. God, I'm messing up everyone's first names of other athletes. Donovan Joyner having that amazing year. Only one player in town averaging more points per game than him. Trivia question, can you name who it is?
Jacob Hesse.
There you go.
Yeah, the kid scores, I mean.
Sun Super 7.
Yeah, 58 points a game or whatever. He never misses, and they're giving him the ball, trying to make a point. They play Gorman this week, so over under 23.5 points, what's he get?
I feel like I could go, if people from Gorman hear this, I feel like I could curse myself because then they're going to be determined not to. The kid's averaging almost 30. I feel like against Gorman, he's going to have even more of an onus on him. I think I'd go over.
Okay.
Am I crazy? I mean, I know Gorman will be set up to stop him, but I don't know. I think that's a good number.
I think what may happen is if Gorman stretches the lead to like 20, Gorman will put in its twos, and D.O. will keep the kid out there, and he can put up some points.
Yeah. He's also averaging 10 rebounds, so he's having an unbelievable year. Maybe the early front runner for player of the year, I'd even say. The scoring charts you look at, it's a bunch of Super 7 kids around. Joyner, Hesse, of course, like we said in first. Jamal Bay has been outstanding for Gorman, a big reason they beat Clark. And Maka Ellis putting up big numbers, as he's done for, it seems like, a decade now at Sierra Vista. But I know you, with one more thing on the Gorman-Clark game, you came away really impressed with Bay. I mean, we know what he's capable of going to Washington, but it seems like he's even stepped it up a notch this season.
Yeah, I think last year Chuck O'Banion was McDonald's All-American for Gorman, and the offense went through him, right? And Bay was a kid that was real lanky and coming into his own, and kind of we'll see what happened. Well, this year it's his team. He drives the bus, and he's really taken that role and, I mean, single-handedly beat some teams. He put up like 42, I think, against Modern Day in the TARC tournament. And folks were like, maybe he should be a McDonald's All-American too. He entered the season as a three-star recruit. Now he's been great in a lot of big games against a lot of national opponents. And, you know, I think it helps with, you know, Noah Tate's being able to stretch the offense with that three-point shot. Cottrell on the inside. And just really was impressed with Gorman. I think that maybe – how do I say this, Case? If we pick Gorman to win every year, that's fair. I mean, they're the six-time defending state champs for a reason, but we couldn't have – anybody – and everybody picked Clark because we all saw what happened in last year's state game. Clark returned everybody from that game. Gorman lost its best player, two of its starters from that game, right? And it made sense. And I think we poked the bear a little bit indirectly.
And they've been open with that. They've been open that they were motivated by that and everything. And maybe we were a little bit too quick to make Clark the favorite. Look, it's far from over. I still think these teams are pretty even. But sometimes we do get, I think, a little too carried away with the personnel. Like, yeah, they lost a lot and everything, but you got to look at the infrastructure they have in place, all these titles they've won in a row, coaching staff intact. We know what a great job Grant Rice does. So they are kind of a self-sustaining entity at this point. So maybe we were a little too quick. I could agree with you on that.
Yeah, and I think another thing, we look at Coronado and how it's had the run of, you know, multiple undefeated Southeast League seasons. And okay, we suspect that Foothill with Rockmore and Coleman, two seniors who've been there forever, will give them a battle, right? It's not going to be just show up, team with the C on their chest wins. Do you think we've not given Canyon and Vegas enough oomph in that race? We've kind of like anointed Coronado Foothill to the championship game of the Sunrise, and Canyon's been, I mean, beating the teams they're supposed to beat. They went over to Durango and scored 90 points the other day. And I just don't know where Canyon fills into this mix or Vegas falls into this mix.
I'm absolutely guilty for picking Coronado all the way and thinking they're going to be the Sunrise champions, and I think it's been probably strengthened my position that they're sitting 8-4 right now despite just a really incredibly tough schedule. They've won some close games. They've gutted it out. But I don't think anyone's anointing Foothill is necessarily going to, like, already schedule the championship game. I think Foothill's really good, maybe even the favorite, but I don't ever remember picking Foothill to beat Canyon Springs, for sure. In that tournament, we see what Canyon Springs does year after year. I do think Vegas is a big surprise. We didn't see them coming. Maybe they're going to have more of a say. El Dorado also, strong record on the year. So there might be a little more parity. I still think Coronado, I'll be very surprised if Coronado's not in the state tournament.
Yeah, we saw the Hardy kid live, you and I, the freshman, and he's Jalen Hardy, right? He's the real deal. But he is a freshman. And while he's really good physically, when he matches up maybe for a full game against an 18-year-old Marvin Coleman, who may be more physically intimidating than him, for 32 minutes, you know, could that make a difference? And the bottom line with Foothill always has been and always will be, the Foothill makes its threes, they're going to be in games. If they have a bad shooting night, they can't keep up with you. It's that simple.
Yeah, I think that was a little more pronounced the last couple of years, though. I think the reason it's a little different this year is because, like you mentioned, Marvin Coleman. I mean, you talk about a kid that's putting up big numbers. I just feel like he's going to keep you in games. They're not so reliant because I think they do have that superstar that maybe they haven't had in a few years. Even though they've had good players, not to take anything away from the younger Coleman or stuff. I just think he's on another level this year. Last thing we should talk about, since we kind of went all the way around, you mentioned it, but the Northwest, you said first place Centennial, but it's actually first place Cimarron. I think they have the same record. Cimarron beat them head-to-head. Maybe we didn't give this league – this might have been another place we were wrong about. Maybe this is going to be the really fun one to watch with a lot of parity. Already everyone in the league has at least one loss. Centennial knocked off Faith Lutheran in an upset, I think is why you called them the number one team, which makes sense because we figured Faith was the favorite. But Cimarron had beaten them right before the new year. And Cimarron has a loss to Arborview. So I think all these teams, it seems like, can beat each other on a good night.
Yeah, I think that what we've learned about that side of town as well, Faith returned a few guys who have multi-years of experience, that it's pretty even. Daryl Branham over at Cimarron, you know, in terms of game day coaching, as good as he gets in town. Of course, he coached Canyon to a state championship. He's been around for a long, long time. And I know a referee who just raves about Cimarron and says that they have a chance to win that league straight up. And then, you know, Arborview, the Jared Burks kid, has been a double-double. Donovan Yap, Smith out of nowhere, another guy who's averaging double figures. So Arbor's got three guys that are legit. And then, of course, Centennial, we assume they'd go away because Troy had graduated, and they're right back in the thick of things. So you kind of got three or four teams that are real solid over there. The thing is if you put any one of those four teams in the Southwest, would they make the playoffs?
I mean, that's a good question. The Southwest, I hate to say this, but probably not, just because of how ridiculous the Southwest is. I mean, right now you've got Maka Ellis and Sierra Vista sitting in the four. But I think there's going to be a good team in both leagues that gets left out. While we're talking about kids with big numbers, in the certain referee you were saying mentioned one kid specifically. This Brian Washington kid for Cimarron is averaging 15-14. So I think if he's in the game, they have a chance. They're going to have their strengths. I don't know. I think it's going to be fun. But as what you're saying, we're going to get to kind of answer this question because, of course, the one seed in the Northwest is going to play the four seed in the Southwest. Are you saying right now, sight unseen, not knowing who's going to play who, are you going to pick the four seed in the Southwest?
So if Dio and Hesse or Vista and Ellis goes to, say, Faith in the first round of the playoffs, do you take best player on the court, senior year, one last stand, or do you take the team that may have the Crusader crazies there jumping up and down?
Yeah, I mean, I need a little bit more of a sample size. I'm not so sold on Faith now. I'm not sure they're going to be the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty certain they'll be in the playoffs, but – it just seems like there's a lot of ways this league could go.
Yeah, and Faith, of course, only scoring 50 points at home, losing to Centennial, with the kind of experience it has in its backcourt, is pretty unexpected. And it just shows you that league is definitely, you know, up and down, topsy-turvy, but it's going to be interesting, man, going forward.
Yeah, and don't count out Durango quite yet. They're out of the playoff picture right now. But like I said, we've only had three or four league games. So Sierra Vista and Desert Oasis do have the early season edge on them, but that's far from over, too. We'll have to see how that plays out. Do you want to run down this week's picks?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be posted on LasVegasSun.com shortly, but we'll talk about them here, too. Palo Verde at Arborview, good transition from that. We're talking about how good that Northwest is. I think Arborview's been pretty good. I'm going to have to go with the Aggies.
I totally agree with you. I think that they were a team that has kind of slowly developed with a few players, and I think that they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
For sure. Legacy already has a league win as well, and tomorrow – tomorrow being Tuesday, they are hosting Centennial.
I don't see Legacy winning this game. I think Centennial continues to impress. I got the Dogs.
Yeah, I got to go with Centennial. Legacy's one win was over Shadow Ridge, who's 0-4 in league and does seem to be the one team that's not really in the mix of the other six. I think I'm going to go with Centennial on the road to win that game. Faith Lutheran at Cimarron.
I think this game is going to come down to the end, and I think I know you're going to pick against me, but I've been high on Faith since the beginning of the year, and I'm going to stay there. I got the Crusaders.
This is a tough one. I think Faith's a little bit better looking at their scores. I think you're probably actually on the right side. I think Faith would be the favorite in this game, but I just sung the praises of Brian Washington. I know they got the George Tribble kid too, so I'm going to say Cimarron keeps this little run going and wins, but I think you're on the right side. I think Faith would be the favorite in this game.
And I like the Tribble kid for the record.
Yep. Okay. Cimarron, you gotta like the Washington kid though, 2-15-14?
I haven't seen him.
Okay,
all right. Yeah.
I've got Cimarron, Brewers got Faith. Las Vegas at El Dorado, maybe the two surprise teams so far.
Yeah, I got Donnie Joyner all the way. All day, every day. Scarlet and Gray.
Yeah, I'd like to go an upset here, too, but I got to stick with the Las Vegas High Wildcats. Canyon Springs at Cheyenne.
I think this – could you imagine back in the day, CK, when all the kids right there on that street went to only Cheyenne? That's when they were rolling. But I think Canyon gets the best in this backyard.
I'm going to go with – Canyon Springs as well. Hard to pick against that track record. Moving into Thursday's games, all 3A showdown, Desert Pines at Sunrise Mountain.
You know, I think DP, like many 3A schools, has a lot of football kids also playing basketball. Football makes a deep run. Basketball doesn't get up and running until, you know, at full strength to about right now. So this is where I see DP kicking it into high gear. I think they roll. Roll, baby. Biggest win of the week.
Yeah, hard not to agree with you there. I'm going with the Jaguars as well. In that loaded Southwest we talked about also on Thursday night, Durango at Spring Valley.
Yeah, I think Durango's in must-win the rest of the way. They can't afford a slip-up, considering right now they're on the outside looking in that playoff race.
Yeah, Spring Valley, no walkover, but you got to think that Durango gets this one done, knowing where they stand. Friday, the game we already teased, how many points does Jacob Hesse score? How good of a chance do you give Desert Oasis to knock off Bishop Gorman?
You know, when you have a guy that could just light it up like that, anything's possible in a close 32-minute game. We've seen it year after year where one team has one player that kind of lets them hang around longer than they should. But I just think at the other four spots that Gorman has such an edge, I think that Gorman can name it score.
Yeah, seems like we're going to have a lot of agreement this week, but I got to go with Gorman as well. Another interesting Southwest game on Friday, maybe even more interesting, Clark traveling to Sierra Vista.
Yeah, eventually, I don't know. I don't want to look too far into the one game I saw of Clark, because they got a lot of good guys. And if Jalen Hill doesn't get into foul trouble, maybe it's a different outcome. I think that maybe Clark eventually could slip up and lose a game, but then you look at the games they won before break, and they just hammered teams. I got them beating Vista.
Yeah, I guess if you think that they're going to be upset sometime in the Southwest, this would probably be the game at Sierra Vista. I don't know if there's going to be a better spot to pick that upset than here. I just don't necessarily think they're going to be upset. I think Gorman will get them again. But I otherwise can't – knowing the players on this team, I can't pick against them in any of these Southwest games. So I'm going to go Clark as well. So I guess this whole week will come down to Faith and Cimarron. We'll have to see how it goes. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now. We should be with you a little bit more regularly now that we're back in the swing of things in basketball. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening.